Will you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word, a familiar word. But we pray that you will not let it be too familiar to us that we might truly hear what you have to say to us through it today. May we hear in it your challenge, your will for our lives. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. S.I. Macmillan wrote a book, None of These Diseases, and he tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application form that asked, Are you a leader? Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, No. And she returned the application expecting the worst. And to her surprise, she received this letter from the college that said, Dear applicant, a study of the application form revealed that this year, our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. And isn't it true? Everyone wants to be a leader. Few people want to be followers. But the part of the question is, when we are a follower, we have to deal with the question, how do we decide whom to follow? How do we know who is the right person or the right group to follow? Now, we have a number of ways that we use to kind of figure this out. Perhaps someone has recommended to us a person who would be good, perhaps a particular doctor or therapist or investment counselor whom they go to, and so they recommend them to us, and we begin to go to that person based on that recommendation and begin to follow their advice. When it comes to a question about who do we follow as a leader for our country or for our company, you might look at past decisions, see if they match what you believe, what you think. There are a number of ways, a number of questions we ask ourselves to determine who we're going to follow. Are our choices always right? No. Humans are fallible. They make errors in judgment. Human followers and human leaders. We'd only need to look at what has happened with the debacle at Penn State and the destruction of the legacy of Joe Paterno. When those we follow make mistakes, it is difficult, very difficult for us, because can we ever trust them again? Can we ever feel like they know what they're saying or doing? And we get angry because we feel like they've personally let us down. They've been dishonest with us. And therefore, we can't trust them anymore, and we won't follow them anymore. The question of who do we follow is a big part of our story from the Gospel of John today. But I think we also find hints of it in our passage from Ephesians, and I'll come back to that one later. In John, I was writing this sermon, and I had Mark in my brain, but it's from the Gospel of John. So in John we hear, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, paraphrases this passage in this way. A huge crowd followed him, attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. Jesus was the closest thing they had seen in their day to a first century insurance policy. Stay close to him and he'll heal you when you are sick. And then he purports to feed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So you also get fed when you stay close to him. But in this feeding of the 5,000, something different happens. Jesus lets the people have power. He lets them become leaders by recognizing that they too have the power to offer to share food with those who have none. Now listen again to the words from Ephesians. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly, far more than all we could ask or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Christ enables the people to recognize the power that the Spirit has given them. The power to feed the hungry. The power to offer a cup of water to the thirsty. The power to visit the sick or to visit those who are in prison. Now, if you doubt the power in any of those things, just do it and see what kind of a response you get. I recall when I was sometime in the mid-late 60s, we saw our postman walking down the street, and it was summer and it was just incredibly hot. And so one of us, my brother, we ran in, we had a pitcher of iced tea, we put a whole bunch of ice in it, we put it in iced tea, and we went out and we stuck it in the mailbox. So that when the postman got to our mailbox, he opened it up to put our mail in, and there's this glass of ice cold iced tea. He took it, put our mail in the mailbox, he drank it, and then he came up to the house, and he said, "Thank you so much." And you know, we had to take extra steps to get from the post of the box to our door. But he took those steps because he was so grateful for what he had been given. That's the power that is available to touch somebody, to make a difference. And I'm sure we got good service, at least for a period of time after that. But that's not why we did it. The people were chasing Jesus because he not only was taking care of them, healing them and feeding them, but he enabled a community of believers who would help each other out. Think about that. He enabled a community of believers who would help each other out. In a time when daily living was so difficult, people didn't have a lot of time or energy or resources to help other people out. Maybe recesses too. And yet, in his own rendition of the stone soup story, which I think most of you probably know, Jesus helps the people to see how much they can do for each other. Or in the words of Paul, to do work within and through them that could accomplish abundantly far more than they could ask or imagine. If I just share half of my loaf of bread, it might feed 1 or 2 other people. But they collected 12 baskets at the end. A community was enabled, and more than enough food was there for everyone. Together, our passage from Ephesians and from John call us to question, why do we follow Jesus? Do we follow because we see the signs and we want to stay close to Jesus so that He can be our insurance policy? or to reap the benefits in our own personal lives? Or do we want to follow Jesus because we want to know the joy of allowing the Spirit of God to work through us and to enable a loving and caring community? I think there are a lot of Christians today who would say they follow Jesus for themselves if they were honest. That's why you have the preachers of the prosperity and the feel-good gospels. However, they do not understand the true gospel and the words that we hear today. Following Jesus is not about believing in Jesus, about the doctrines we have in our faith. Following Jesus is about doing the kinds of things that Jesus did. Letting the power and the Spirit of God work through us like it worked through Jesus. Living the life Jesus lived. Very interesting. Recently, I came across the following quote, and I don't know who said it. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Faith enables us to see and do what others cannot see or are not doing. Each week, we come here. We come here to be reminded about the one that we say we follow. But you know, and I'm just as guilty of it as you are, it's so easy to leave that at the door as we're leaving. And therefore, we do not claim the power of the one that we worship while we're here. The power that Paul reminds us that we have. The power that enables us to make a difference in the world, in our workspaces, in our supermarkets, in our parks, at our ball games, wherever we are. When we think about it, we really don't make much use of that power that Jesus and Paul remind us that we have. We don't allow God's Spirit often to work through and us to enable a caring community. Perhaps then, I figured, okay, how can we deal with this? Perhaps what we need to do every Sunday, and this includes me, when we walk out the doors of the sanctuary, be it those doors or this door, to say to ourselves and to God, God, I'm not leaving you here. I'm taking you into my week with me. And I pray that you will enable me to create a community that cares for and nourishes each other. That would really be following Jesus. Can we do that? Can we remember to say those words or to think those kinds of thoughts? If we can't, then my question would be, who are we following and why? Amen.